Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 4, Episode 4. And a little apology, guys. We've been gone for a couple weeks here, and it wasn't on purpose. For some reason, we were having trouble getting our our Zoom PodTrack P4 recording device working. And hopefully we figured it out. We really hope so. So I'm Jason Webster. This is Jeff Webster and Jake Cranston. Hopefully for a real episode.
Gentlemen, here's hoping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knock on the wood if you got to.
You guys can blame me for the jinx.
Yeah.
Should I tell
them? Yeah, let's spill it.
So it's funny because before we record, we always sit here and we put our headsets on. We got the mics on. We sit here and we just bullshit with each other. Nothing's recording. We're just talking to each other with our gear on. So I said, how funny would it be if we legitimately didn't really do a podcast? We just sat here and talked to each other for like an hour through the equipment.
And right? That became our reality.
Yeah. And the last 2 weeks, for some reason, didn't record. So
wish granted. Way to go.
Right. Yep.
Well, damn genie didn't even know it was here.
And we did a couple of mock drafts and we talked about it. Yeah, we did. We did the same fucking thing all over again. And that didn't work. And
as hard as it is to believe, I mean, what are the odds of this? We literally guessed nothing right when it came to the draft.
And no one would have ever known anyway. If you had kept your mouth shut.
No, I think it's important for people to understand that it's an exercise in futility. You don't have a clue what's going to – but it was such fun doing it.
Well, we didn't guess the players like right, but we guessed positions.
Positions we did extremely well.
I think we all knew we wanted to go after, line, wide receiver, linebacker, which we did. Yep. So it's just obviously the order didn't work out or the players didn't work out, which we thought. But
and I think that's probably how it went for the Bills organization, too. They draft best player available. It's just a lot of times that has to be a position of need also.
Yeah.
Right. Like best player of need available. So if that linebacker is not there, the one they want at the first pick. Or, so on and so forth. But now Brandon Bean, apparently, an interview he did with Bills Live yesterday, he did say that they didn't think Dalton Kincaid would make it to 20. So when he did, he started making phone calls to see if anybody was willing to trade because he was that important to them. I had them drafting a tight end way later, like third, fourth round again.
Right.
I told you that Schoonmaker or whatever.
Yep.
Was a guy that I thought they might target because I did think Tommy Sweeney's never been the guy. Quentin Morris was kind of a fill-in usually. You know what I mean? They didn't have that solid number two tight end.
Right.
Or even solid number one necessarily. Dalton Knox is trying to be that, but yeah. So I thought that might happen. I didn't see that coming. What about you? Like a tight end. I know you thought like wide receiver was going to be critical in the first round or important.
Yeah, I was with like the majority of Bills fans where I wanted a receiver with the first pick, but it just the way it fell, it sucked. I mean, who saw Seattle taking a receiver? I sure didn't.
It was four straight picks 20, 21, 22, and 23 were the four what were considered to be the top four wide receivers in the draft.
Seattle had no business taking a receiver, though. They didn't need a receiver. That wasn't even on their needs. So,
they probably thought so, I mean.
Well, they took the best player available, obviously, with Njigba there. But, they were the last team that I thought.
I agree.
They were never really ever mocked to even have a receiver.
The only thing I wonder maybe is with Tyler Lockett getting older now. Maybe that was motivation.
Could be.
I don't know.
They're going to have a pretty solid three squad of receivers now. So, but yeah, it's just you and I, Jeff, were texting back and forth during the draft, and we're like, oh man, and Jake's still there,
late teens, and he hadn't been taken, and we're like, holy shit, dude, this could happen.
Well, I love the way that stuff started falling because all of a sudden, like the Lions took Jahmyr Gibbs,
right,
and we're like, holy cow, they took a running back there, and it started pushing stuff back more,
right. And I'm like, Bijan Robinson at 8 to the Falcons, didn't see that coming. Right. I knew somebody was going to overpay, because he's just that good,
right. But it was cool to see stuff start moving back because I started getting a little more excited. I'm like, dude, one of these wide receivers could realistically be there, and then it just didn't happen. So
he came close.
Yeah, so we make the move, we move up. But before that happened, what were you guys thinking in your heads? Were you getting a little bit panicked when you just saw all that shit fall off the board?
Well, it was at 20, 21, 22, and 23 that the four wide receivers went. So then I went back from my more dream scenario to the reality scenario of Osiris Torrance is still there. He was mocked to the Bills quite a bit. Jack Campbell was gone, but Sanders, the other linebacker, was still there. Like,
yep.
There were alternative moves I felt the Bills could make without moving up and possibly even with moving back, getting an extra pick, and they actually went
which
the
I think you talked about, right? You thought we were going to move back for sure.
Yeah, I was almost positive the players that the Bills would probably be hottest and available would be into the second round. So I thought maybe they could move back, yes.
Yeah, definitely. For me, I was thinking in my head, because I was looking at the best players available still on the board. So once the receivers were gone, I knew Kincaid was there. Like, I saw him there.
Right.
But I just wasn't sure if the Bills would make that move for Kincaid, because there was still Mozzie Smith, there was still Miles Murphy, and there was still Nolan Smith on the board.
Yeah, so, that was a surprise.
D-tackle, edge, and edge. So I'm thinking one of those, a D-tackle or one of those two edge guys, the Bills for sure are going to probably go after one of those guys, right?
Yeah, I didn't think edge as much as the tackle. Like, with Ed Oliver being in a situation where he sounds like he wants to get paid, and that's probably not going to be with the Bills, and with everybody else on basically a one-year contract, I thought they would probably target a defensive tackle.
Yeah, and I was thinking the same way, but then I was thinking, like, well, here's the problem, right? Like, Epinesa, he's been just mediocre at best. Who knows what they're going to do with him?
Who knows?
Boogie Basham's been just a situational guy. So I'm thinking, man, if they can get Miles Murphy or Nolan Smith, that's like another possible premier guy on the other side.
Right.
So now you got a three rotation of three guys.
But would that be a bad look, considering they did draft two late first and second round edge rushers 2 years ago? You know,
yeah.
Would that be a bad look to go ahead and use a first round again on an edge rusher? Like, we usually put all our draft assets early into the defense. So I don't think it would have surprised a Buffalo Bills fan if that had happened.
Right.
But I think nationally people are going, well, it must be they figure they missed on the last time they took a couple of early picks on edge rusher or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's natural. You know what I mean?
I mean, knowing what, you know, Sean McDermott is, like, he's a defensive first type guy. So it's kind of embedded in your brain, like, okay, like if they're not going to take one of these wide receivers, then most likely it's going to be a D tackle or a D end in what I was thinking, because that's what they've been building off of.
Right.
But then as a Bills fan, like you're saying, it's like, dude, they haven't won heavy on offense at all since they've been in this regime.
Josh Allen, right? Like,
yeah, I mean,
he's about the only first-round offensive player they've selected in 5 years.
Yeah, so it's like they gotta change it up. I mean, you can only put so many assets into the defense until it just doesn't work out, and you gotta load the other side of the ball at some point.
Well, especially where the AFC is headed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, now it's I don't know. It's a race to the top when it comes to offensive players, man. Everybody's got good quarterbacks, good wide receivers. Like, you better be able to put up some points, because you're not going to stop these guys.
Yeah, even if you have the best defense in the world, you're not going to win if you can't fucking score a touchdown.
Right.
No.
In the playoffs, everything changes.
Yeah, yeah. And even the Bills' schedule this year, they play a lot of playoff teams. So
they do.
Yeah, you got to be able to outscore guys, and we have the quarterback to do it. Just need all the other assets.
And one of the things too that I thought about is, and I don't know how much this would ever factor into, you know, a professional's head, but it's possible that with you know, with Sean running the defense now, if he would think that maybe there would be like a nepotism thing going on if he chose a defenseman for the first round pick, like, yeah, well, now that this is McDermott's defense again, you know, I don't want to like look like I'm gobbling everything up for myself. Yeah, like,
right,
you know.
Yeah
No, it's a good point.
To make himself look good, you're saying. Yeah. Like, would you really want to do that? Yeah. I that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, we went back and forth too. We're like, we want offense, but we just have a bad feeling it's going to be defense, you know?
Well, again, if you look at greatest needs, yeah, definitely wide receiver, but we both figured the odds of one of the wide receivers that would be worth taking in the first round probably would be gone, and it would take a lot of draft capital to move up to 20, where we thought you'd have to get to.
Right.
Or 23, and ultimately it ended up going that way, right? Like, I mean, that 20, 21, 22, 23, all your wide receivers. So it would have cost a lot. It did cost a fourth round pick to move up the two spots they did. But that being said, post-draft, you start looking at this player, you start to see exactly who he is and some of the things that are being said, like the best hands in the draft, a very flexible player. You can slot guy, you know, you can put him outside, you can bring him inside, you can move him all over the lineup, basically. So, yeah, and the Bills love that kind of diversity. So,
yeah, he's super diverse, and Bleacher Report said that he was our version of Kelsey,
right,
to put him on this type of roster where, you know, it's a copycat league. And
it is. It does feel that way, doesn't it?
It is, dude. It's such a copycat league. When you have, like, the Chiefs, when they're just torching you with two guys on an offense and one of them's tight end.
Right.
And if you, and it's such a big mismatch. Very, very good tight end is a big mismatch in this league. If you look back at a lot of these Super Bowl teams, they all had elite tight ends. The Chiefs, the Patriots, you know, I mean, they're all big mismatches. And when you have a big mismatch like that, it really opens up the field and it really opens up the defense. So
yeah, and I agree. And I think the offense that Bills run is pretty also diverse. You know, they talk about different formations they run, like a single tight end, two tight end sets. Like,
yeah,
I think that really opens up the playbook for Ken Dorsey too. So yeah, to take advantage of all these athletes that really have the talent to make a difference on offense.
Yeah. Yeah. And the biggest thing we were weak at last year was slot. So he can contribute in the slot.
Yep.
Obviously we're going to pull in Shakir. He can possibly be the starter there. Who knows? You know, you got Deontay Hardy, some guys like that.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how we kind of piece and puzzle some of these new guys in now.
Right.
I would hope that Dorsey gets a lot more creative this year. Not saying he was vanilla last year. I just feel like he didn't really know how to use everybody correctly.
Yeah, and I think it was a little tentative too, right? Like,
yeah,
it's hard, that one play where they had the 90-yard touchdown or something. I think that was more Josh Allen just seeing Gabe Davis breaking open and just threw him the ball.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that was more of just a play.
Yeah.
But I thought he was a little bit tentative at times, probably because he didn't want to take too big of a risk. You know,
yeah,
he didn't want to be the guy that was responsible for a loss or something like that. Maybe, I don't know, but yeah, I agree. Now the playbook is wide open, like just about anything you want to run.
I totally agree with you, Jeff. Dorsey just needs he needed that year to kind of find himself, I think.
Right.
As an offense, we were still very high level. We just had certain snafus in there, certain bubbles that just weren't working correctly. But I think this year is going to be a different story.
Well, and you're putting tools into the toolkit. You know, we talked about how, you know, Diggs was unable to achieve what he wanted to because he was never open, because there's nothing else threatening on the field for anyone to have to worry about. Now, we fixed both of our, you know, running back issues potentially, and we now have another elite tight end to work with. I think it'll really help everybody all around.
As far as overall, beyond the draft, the offseason has been great, and we'll talk about that a little bit maybe later. But yeah, as far as the draft goes, I'm completely thrilled with that pick. Pro Football Focus called it an elite pick because he was actually their, like, ninth ranked
player, maybe. PFF hit him ninth or tenth,
somewhere
around there.
Right on. Yeah.
Overall
so
player
getting
in the draft.
At 25 was, I think, a bit of a surprise for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's really good.
I loved moving up to 25.
I know,
to get him.
He did talk about that.
Just because, I mean, I know what was said about taking Mozzie Smith, and that was their player.
Right.
But I mean, I don't think for a second that they wouldn't have took Kincaid at 25.
I think the reason being is because Mozzie Smith did not separate himself the way that maybe, and the tight ends were like the second strongest position, I think, after cornerback.
Yeah.
In a lot of people's opinion, but Dalton Kincaid and was it Michael Mayer?
Yep.
Were like considered the two best tight ends in the draft.
Right.
They kind of separated themselves into their own tier. And then it was a debate after that because Mayer was the guy that was the safe pick. You know, he can do it all right now. But his ceiling probably isn't as high as Dalton Kincaid.
And we all know the way the Bills like to go.
Correct. Yeah. They're going to take the big swing for the home run. They're not going to hit singles all day. That's not the way they play the game. So
yeah.
Yeah. So I think it was a bit of a surprise that he was there.
It was. I mean, talking about a big surprise, too, that who was there was at 59 when we were able to get Osiris Torrance, the guard from Florida.
That was ridiculous.
That one was a real surprise to me because, you know, him, the fact that he didn't go in the first round was a little surprising to me. I kept watching the fact that he was not drafted.
Right.
And again, you and I were texting about it and we were saying back and forth, like, hey, like Torrance is still there, dude.
I mocked him to the Bills, even if they moved back to the early second round sometimes. Other times he was actually in mock drafts anyway, taken before the Bills picked at 27.
Right.
So I think they had him ranked around 30 or 32. Pro Football Focus. So getting him at 59, again, I did hear one person comment that, and it might have been at the time that he was drafted, that that could possibly be the steal of the draft.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, you know, how I like to run my fantasy teams. I basically will get to a certain point where I don't have anybody on my, you know, list anymore of people I'm specifically looking for.
Right.
And I'll just try to grab value every time.
Yep.
And I don't think that you really can go that wrong doing that, to be honest. Like, as long as there's no catastrophic failures,
correct,
you should do all right making picks like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially something like that. You know, exactly. Yeah. Because somebody else in a whole different redo of the draft, he could have easily been a late first round pick.
Yep.
So if he doesn't work out, it's certainly not going to look bad at 59 as it would be if you picked him at 29 or 30. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I was amazed that he fell that far.
Same.
You know, I did follow day one and day two much closer than day three. And I was kind of following the draft as it went. And I kept seeing, again, Pro Football Focus had a really nice tracker that showed best players available. And his name was constantly at the top of the list.
Yep.
And I'm thinking he's going to go. And this is with 10 or 15 picks before the Bills got to 59. So I'm saying to myself, he's definitely not going to be there by the time the Bills pick. It's just not going to happen. There's no way.
Yeah.
If they don't move, they're not going to get him. And he's still there. It was like amazing.
It was great. It was great. And the thing that I really love that the Bills are doing in this draft or did in this draft was they got their playmaker in round one on offense, and then they go and they get a guard, which now if you look at the guards we have in this roster, Jeff, you know, signing Connor McGovern from Dallas, adding David Edwards from the Rams, still having Ryan Bates and Ike Bakker on this roster.
Right.
And then we go and add Osiris Torrance. I mean, the biggest thing we were, you know, I would say the worst thing that we had last year was guards on our offensive line. You know, that was the biggest thing we needed to improve, you know, and we went and did that by free agency and then the draft. So,
and he's a freaking monster.
He's huge.
He is.
He's huge.
And I wonder too, and I'll ask you this question. Does this have anything to do with Sean McDermott only says you're only as good as your last game?
Right.
Everybody knows their last game, that was 27-10 to Cincinnati, when Cincinnati's offensive line had been decimated. They had almost complete backups for the entire offensive line, and we couldn't get anywhere near Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
But every one of those freaking guys was like 330 plus.
Yeah.
They were just big freaking guys, and we had no answer. So I really wonder if they didn't just decide we got to put some beef into this line. We just got to put some big bodies in there. And
yeah, you do. You do.
And he's at 337, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
But he's got huge, like size 17 feet.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 11 and a quarter inch hands or something like that. Like, yep. He is,
I'm
like
glad you said hands.
Like, yeah. Well, I mean, size 17 feet, they say that, you know. No.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I mean, it's just, they say when that guy blocks, when he plants his feet, it's like he has roots. You're not going to freaking move him. I mean, you're not. It's going to take two guys to get him to even sway.
Yeah.
Say anything about knock him down. He's just a beast of a person. And now we got Spencer Brown, another big guy, a little leaner, but another big guy at right tackle. Hopefully he can avoid the injuries this year and maybe take his game to another level. Mitch Morse is rock solid always, you know.
Yeah.
At least for a few more years. I think he's under contract for this year and maybe not next year or something. But yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I thought it was a fantastic pick. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's a huge pick. And the thing, when you're going back to look at that Cincy game, I think the biggest thing that our coaching staff looked at is like, hey, you know, we could only score 10 points at home against a team that let up a decent amount of points. They didn't have a killer defense, man. And we were at home, and we could only drum up 10 points. Then if you look back at that game, I mean, Saffold was just getting bowled over constantly. Josh Allen was running for his life.
Yeah, Spencer Brown had a bad game.
It was just
the offensive line looked really bad.
It was bad. So, I mean, being in McDermott, had to go into this offseason looking at, listen, man, our defense is going to be about where it's been, okay? You know, maybe it'll slide a little bit, but it's going to be similar to what it's been. We have to build on this offense. And it all starts in the trenches too, Jeff. You know that. Like defensive line, offensive line, it starts in the trenches. They've tried to build that defensive line. It's been hit or miss. I mean, honestly, the offensive line, they've brought in guys, right? Every year they're bringing in some guys to fill in, to maybe help get better. Aaron Cromer comes in. But the thing is like they're bringing in just guys that really don't fit the system or the way that I guess Cromer wanted to play. Right. Like Saffold just didn't work out. They didn't really put a lot of real assets into this line. Now they go get McGovern. Now they go get David Edwards. They draft a high draft pick.
Yep.
You know, now it's like, okay, they're really putting into it what it needs to happen now.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Like they drafted Deion Dawkins, was that 2017?
Yeah.
2017. That's about the only they've actually announced Spencer Brown. That's the only time they've really addressed the offensive line through the draft.
They tried Cody Ford. Obviously, that didn't
Cody
work.
Cody Ford didn't work out.
But you're right. I mean, it's just they
haven't really attempted it very often.
Yes.
I mean, Josh Allen. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, maybe Cody Ford scared him off a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that was just, it didn't work out. But go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Josh Allen hasn't really had that long with the team to actually experience an excellent offensive line. There's maybe been, maybe 8 games since he started that he's had a really fantastic offensive line setup?
Absolutely fucking scary.
We've constantly had injuries and bullshit just tearing us down.
If you look at his most productive games, generally there's a game where he has really good protection.
Yeah.
If you give him a few seconds, he will just pick you apart.
Yeah.
Somebody will be open by a few feet at some point, some way, he will find them.
Yeah, and I think that's where we get misled as fans. We keep saying we need wide receivers that can get separation. Well, maybe we need guys that can block to let these guys get separation first.
Good point. That's a really good point.
And the
thing, it all works together.
It does. And if you or your wide receivers don't have a little bit extra time to get open, why Josh isn't running for his life because your guard just got blown up, well, what's it matter if you have the best route runner in the game if your line can't protect you for, you know?
Yeah, what does a Josh Allen who has 10 seconds in the pocket look like? You know, I don't think I've ever seen what that is.
Right.
I'm kind of scared to find out.
That's it, man.
This is a guy who's going to be stronger at the end of the season because he's not getting beat up so much and constantly having to run around. And
yeah, now you got to remember, when we went in and we played San Fran in primetime 2 years ago, we destroyed their defense.
Yep.
Who ran that defense, Jeff? Robert Saleh. Who runs the same defense in New York.
Yep.
Same thing. Everybody's kissing the Jets' ass that they have this great defense. Well, guess what? In that game, Josh Allen was flawless because he had time to throw the ball. The reason why we looked like dog shit against the Jets game one is because he had no protection.
Right.
No protection.
Yep.
Give the guy protection. Give this guy a good offensive line. Just like Jason said, it's going to be fucking scary.
Well, like you said, not only to give him time to find a target, but give the target a chance to become one. Like, how can you throw it down the field if you've got less than 2 seconds to set up to try to throw a pass?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's fantastic throwing off balance, whatever, scrambling, throwing the ball on a move. He's really great. But that shouldn't have to be the norm.
Correct. That is very, very correct. And signing these guys in the offseason, Latavius Murray, what a cool pick.
Yeah,
pick up.
We didn't even talk about that.
Right. Like, but you know, it's nice to see now, not only are we grabbing these guards to come in to protect this interior part of the line where we faulted so many times last year. But now, hopefully, Aaron Kromer can say, all right, let's really get this train moving, and we can create a run game that's going to be effective now, right?
Right.
Not saying let's hand the ball off like 35 times a game. That's not what I'm saying. But maybe
that ain't going to happen.
Maybe we get have an effective run game where it gets a little more balanced as far as keeping the defense on notice that, hey, we can run the ball, guys. You know,
right? It's a lot. Play action works way better when you got a run game.
Exactly.
At least the threat of a running game.
And that's what
you
have to bring
safeties up or something to help protect the box against a running back. And Latavius Murray is, what do we say? It was like 6'2", 230 or something like
that. Yeah, right in that area.
He's a big boy.
Yes.
Like, yeah. And now, especially when you've got Cyrus Torrence coming in, and I think we talked about he plays right guard, right?
Correct.
So now you got Spencer Brown, you got Mitch Morse, you got Torrence, and then Spencer Brown on the right-hand side of that line. Maybe Josh Allen doesn't have to have Gabe Davis pushing him in the ass to get a yard. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
We could actually get a yard or two on our own.
Correct.
And maybe if it's third and three or third and four, the threat of the run actually is a real thing. You know what I mean? We don't have to go. Everybody drop back because they're going to throw a pass because they can't run the ball for 3 or 4 yards.
Yeah, it's going to be a different look on this
for
team
sure.
up front this year. It's going to be completely different. It's going to be completely more monstrous. These guys are going to be able to move people. They're also going to be athletic, you know.
Yep, and that includes Dalton. You know, seeing him out on the field is going to be an excellent target for Josh to throw
to. Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's, again, you think about anything Kansas City does with Travis Kelce, and I think maybe not everything, but most of those things can be accomplished between Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid now.
Yeah, and speaking
and they won't know which one.
Right, and the Copycat League speaks onto the Chiefs as far as their offensive line goes, Jeff.
Yeah.
I mean, their offensive line was...
That's their primary focus.
They had, like, the top three best offensive lines in the
league.
Since
Mahomes has come into the league, they've always focused on that offensive line.
You got to.
And if they pull a piece because it's not working out, they pop in a good one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they go out and get Joe Thuney, probably top five best guards in the NFL. I mean, they did what they needed to do for that offense, and they made sure their defense was just good enough.
Right. And look what they did. It wasn't like they have the top receiving core when they won the Super Bowl.
No.
I mean, they
had an elite tight end and everybody else.
Right, exactly. Well, a bunch of guys that used to play for somebody else.
And you can other kind of McCall understand Hardman. It. You can kind of understand it because you think about what do you have that are your assets that, you know, counterbalance well to where you can let something slide, right? And you have Josh Allen, one of the best scramblers in the league, who can make a throw out of fucking nothing.
Right.
You know, we'll get the job done no matter what. Maybe you let the offensive line go a little bit more than another team would. And it worked fine for a couple seasons, but we still haven't gotten that ring, and he's not getting any younger. And eventually you have to really protect him like you would any other quarterback.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and where is Pat Mahomes the most dangerous is when he gets all that time, and then all of a sudden he's moving around, and he can scramble out, and guys are wide open because you can't hold that long.
Right.
And when you have that good of an offensive line, like, can you imagine Josh getting, like Jason said, like a 7, 8, 10 seconds to be able to throw the ball?
He isn't scrambling around getting that. Like, he could literally, I mean, I remember several plays where he looks like a statue, like he comes to a complete stop in the backfield. And generally, it's just before he makes some outrageous fucking play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, the idea of him actually having the time that a Patrick Mahomes has. And Aaron Rodgers, no different. You know, they talk about him having his worst season last year.
Right.
He was under duress the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, he had a really bad season, you know. If you want a good quarterback to be great or a great quarterback to be elite, you got to give him time.
He has to
have protection.
And there's no correlation why teams blitzed the piss out of us last year.
Right.
I mean, they won after Josh. That's what they did.
Right.
Because they knew where we were weak. It was inside out, man. And that's where we got attacked so much.
And they're doing the right thing, man. They're addressing that this year.
They are.
And it wasn't like we didn't have decent pieces, but all of those decent pieces didn't work out to be, I think our offensive line was like the 23rd graded offensive line in the NFL last year. That just doesn't get it done.
No.
And I mean, I might be a little optimistic on this, but I would imagine that a lot of the tape that teams have on us, a lot of the planning on the strategies of how to deal with us is gone. It's fucking gone.
Absolutely.
Just throw it all
out.
It's a different game now.
Right.
Yeah, you got almost completely new offensive line in retrospect.
Oh, you do. Know, so I mean, other than Mitch Morse and Deion Dawkins and possibly Spencer Brown,
right?
But there's going to be a rotation there too.
Yep.
Because now you've got some really, really good pieces. So
yeah, yeah. Speaking of a new look too, the middle of their field is going to be obviously different this year. It's going to have a hole without Tremaine Edmonds.
Correct.
So obviously with pick three, number 91, we took Dorian Williams, linebacker out of Tulane, 6'1" guy, 228. Jeff, you were kind of head scratching a little bit. Why did we take another smallish linebacker? I guess one of the biggest reasons that they did take him is because he was one of the best coverage linebackers in the class. So
right.
That could play obviously a part in it. We don't know who's going to be starting there. I texted you that I feel like it's Terrell Dotson's job to lose at this point.
Right.
But it looks like it's going to be obviously a competition there. So.
Oh, for sure. Because now you got two third-round linebackers in Terrell Bernard and Dorian Williams. And again, in hindsight, what Brandon Bean said is they asked him about the fact that Tremaine Edmonds was kind of a bigger guy and Dorian Williams is not that big. And he literally said, there aren't a lot of linebackers in the NFL that are the size of Tremaine Edmonds. There's just not. He's a fucking unicorn.
Good point.
Good luck going out and finding a half a dozen Tremaine Edmonds. You're not going to get that many. There's maybe five.
That's a really good point.
So, and what was the biggest knock on Tremaine Edmonds? Like, he could stop the run. He could get into the backfield on occasion, but his coverage skills were not elite. They're not. They weren't even actually really that good.
Yeah.
There was a couple of times against Kansas City that everybody knew the ball was coming to Travis Kelce, and we couldn't stop him.
Right.
And some of that fell to Tremaine Edmonds. So, yeah, there's – I think that game with the 13 seconds, there was a play in overtime, and Tremaine Edmonds missed completely on that pass to Kelce.
Yep.
So – and that's asking a ton. I mean, I'm not trying to pick on Tremaine Edmonds, but as far as like a strong middle linebacker that can play close to the line and get it done, he's your man.
Yeah, and he had great speed for his size. He could get sideline to sideline fairly
right,
well.
Right.
But again, you're correct. The type of, you know, big nickel they played where your middle linebacker essentially is an extra, you know, DB almost.
Right.
You know, that plays a big part in trying to catch the middle of the field. And when you have guys like Kelce or you have some elite, you know, slot receivers that are running crossing routes, that's a tough position to ask when you're playing middle linebacker like that. And he was decent. He could drop back into coverage. He could, because of his length, he was able to take up space, but the biggest thing is he man to man he had a hard time.
Right, he was better in zone than man.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
So hopefully this kid, you know, I mean, who knows? He's going to be part of this this team where it's going to be, you know, between him, Terrell Dotson, Terrell Bernard, and we'll see what happens.
Do you think it's possible they may revert back to a more traditional 4-3 alignment where they actually have two outside linebackers, an inside linebacker, and four down linemen? And then, I mean, historically, Sean McDermott's defense is predicated on everybody goes to the ball. Like, if it's a running back, it's not one guy making a tackle.
Right.
It's three or four guys. And now you've got three guys, some pretty damn good speed, and Terrell Bernard, that's one thing that was Dorian Williams was all about.
Yeah.
Didn't run like a 4.49 or something like that. He's a speedster.
Yes.
You know, and Matt Milano's no slouch. So I wonder if that's the idea now, is getting away from that hybrid defense where they're basically running a nickel 90% of the time.
Yeah.
To more of a traditional 4-3 where everybody moves to the ball.
Yeah. What I actually hope to see is the difference between, I think, Sean McDermott and our coordinator.
Oh, are you talking about Leslie
Frazier?
Yeah.
So the biggest difference between those two that I think is going to happen is Leslie Frazier, he wouldn't really adjust to get out of that nickel. What would happen is teams eventually would start just bowling over us with the run game. And we would never adjust to that.
Right.
Now, I don't think Sean McDermott's not going to not run you know, the nickel defense. I think he's I think that's part of what he likes to do. But what I think the difference is going to be is he's going to be more of an in-game adjuster. I think he's right. going to be able to say, listen, like we can't get bowled over like this on the ground.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be able to do that where he gets out of that look, brings in the extra linebacker that he needs to, or the extra, you know, D tackle to help stop the run.
Right.
But that was the biggest thing that we suffered through our defense problems was eventually trying to stop the run. I mean, it happened so many different times. Like the one always sticks out to me was 3 years ago at home against the Saints when Mark Ingram and Kamara just torched us for over 275 yards on the ground, and we never did anything to adjust.
Right,
and we got knocked on so many times. You know, we don't have the bulls up front to stop, you know, a run game like that. So it's got to be an adjustment somewhere, and I think McDermott is going to be more of that type of defense coordinator.
And it's possible again, especially with Hyde and Poyer getting a little bit older now, it is possible that the idea of having two linebackers on the field and your third linebacker basically is a safety is occasionally you have to, on a play-to-play basis, move somebody up to the box on first down or something like that. So now if they do end up going to the three linebackers, you've got three guys that are big enough to help out in the run and still fast enough to drop back into coverage on play action or something like that. Because that's huge. Like, it's a passing league now.
Right.
You know, so you got to have guys that can cover, and that's why you use more safeties and linebackers sometimes.
Yep.
But if you got speedy linebackers that know the game and can play the position, maybe you can also move them to position them better against the run.
Yeah, absolutely. Potentially. That's a great point.
So it'll be interesting to see how that actually plays out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. And again, I'll just go back to it and say they have to eventually, right? Like if they're in a big nickel like that and teams are starting to take advantage of that.
Right.
The guards are getting out and they're just blowing up Taron Johnson. They're getting them out of the play. And
Poyer or whomever.
Yeah. They continually make that mismatch. If the Bills aren't getting out of that, the other team's not going to change that if they're succeeding.
No.
The Bills have to get out of that look.
They can pull a safety, throw in a linebacker.
They got to do something.
Change the alignment.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. And that was the biggest issue last year, or I'd say the last 3-4 years is if we had problems stopping the run, that was it,
man. I really wondered why they never tried to take AJ Epenesa and actually make him an off-ball linebacker. I'm honestly, he's got the physique.
Just cover, you know, skills.
Mean? Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's ever played the position.
Right.
So probably it's too hard to convert somebody at this point in their career.
That'd be tough.
But I think he's got some speed and stuff. I think he would have been interesting to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, moving on.
Yeah. After that, we ended up actually trading our pick 137, which would have been our fifth round pick, for picks 150 and 215.
Right.
So we moved back in the fifth, and we ended up drafting at 150, Justin Shorter, wide receiver out of Florida. Kid's a big boy, man, 6'4", 230 pounds.
He's pretty sleek.
He's a big boy. I like the fact that you brought this up, Jeff, that, and I never would have known, but the number one ranked wide receiver recruit in 2018 coming out of high school, which is
I think Jamar Chase came out that year. There was a couple of guys that people would recognize that. Yeah. As far as prospects, he was like the number one prospect coming out of high school.
Yep. And I know you put an NFL comp in here, but I'm going to throw a curveball at you. And I really think that he reminds me of, I haven't seen him play in the NFL
exactly
yet. I
know who you're going to say.
But he's like similar to me, like DK Metcalf.
Right.
Yeah. Same type of build. The guy is Jimmy jacked up. You said he's what, like 0.8% body fat or something?
Yeah, 0.01 or something. They said it's like he has like almost no body fat on him whatsoever.
Yeah.
But he's broad shouldered. They're literally saying he could trim some weight and probably be faster, because that's the biggest difference. DK Metcalf, we talked like he ran a 5.33. And this kid's closer
4-3-3.
Or 4-3-3. Yeah, and this guy's closer to like a 4-5.
4-5-2. Yep.
Yeah, something like that.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's the biggest difference. But other than that, the measurables are almost identical.
They are.
You know, but he is broad-shouldered. He's got like, I can't remember, like 34 and a half inch arms. He's got like a 6 foot wingspan.
Yep.
Like the kid is
sure-handed. You know, and that's, again, that's what we did. Our two picks that we brought in on the offense to catch passes. I mean, these guys, I think I read that Justin Shorter dropped one pass on like 118 attempts or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Last year, I know he only dropped one pass.
Again, now we
in nine games.
We go something. And address the issue. You know? Right.
Well, and that seems like almost a new thing. You know, like for a while, it seemed like we were kind of trying to hide our imperfections and pretend like everything was okay. And, you know, it wasn't always a one-to-one fix for what was wrong.
But it was bad last year. Like, it was bad.
It was.
Davis was not good.
And it's a good thing to just know exactly what was wrong and just fucking attack it. You know, like, let's just get rid of those problems.
It got comical when you had to bring back John Brown and you had to bring back Cole Beasley. It's like, okay. Like,
it isn't a good look.
Right.
It's really not.
A lot of people were scratching their heads going, like, these guys weren't good enough to keep, but now you're going to bring them back.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And funny, though, it always harkened back to that comment from Sean McDermott. Had to be at least 3 years ago now when he was at the combine or something like that. And somebody said, what are you looking for in a wide receiver? And he said, number one, they got to be able to catch the ball. Right? Like, why would you want a wide receiver that can't catch a ball?
Exactly.
So that's number one. We want somebody who can catch a football.
Right.
And the irony of that is very
Gabe
very
Davis
rough
was
for
barely
us.
Over 50%.
Not only that, though, Jason, but the irony of that also was, who was the first wide receiver Sean McDermott drafted?
Zay Jones.
Exactly. What was his problem?
Dropping the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah. He was one of the best receivers in college football history. Catching the ball.
Right.
Comes in the NFL, fucking can't catch.
It right. almost seems like one of those things that they thought maybe they could train it into him. You know, like.
Well, but he was catching the ball. That issues. Wasn't his problem.
Well, yeah. No, it's, but Gabe Davis I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Right. But it's possible with Zay Jones that learning the rest of playing in the NFL, it caused him to focus so much on not screwing that shit up. He lost focus on how to catch the ball because one of the demons as a wide receiver in the NFL is there's so many guys that can literally wreck you when you catch a football. Your immediate reaction is to turn your head to the direction you're moving before you've secured the ball. That's like, I've seen like tons of receivers have this issue where they're literally making the play. Either they're so excited or they're so worried about just getting, you know, crushed. They actually turn their head. They don't even have the ball yet, and it bounces off their hands and is gone.
Yep. And also, as a rookie coming in the league, you have so many things flowing through your head. What's the snap count going to be? Where am I going to line up? Like, what route am I running again? Like, and then all of a sudden, you're thinking of so many things. The last thing you're thinking about is,
they're stacking defensive backs, and they're looking for gaps in the zone. And, and each play is a different read. Depending on what the defense is doing. So, it's a complicated freaking thing.
Yeah. Like, so, I'm excited. Pick, I'm excited about that pick. I think getting a big receiver, we've been talking about getting a big receiver like that. So, awesome pick.
Since Hodgins isn't going to be around anymore.
Jeez, yeah. He goes to the Giants and becomes, catches everything guy type guy. So, we had pick 205. We actually traded that for pick 230 and a 24 sixth round pick. Then we had pick 215, did the same type of thing. We traded that for pick 252 and another sixth rounder. So Bean's trying to stack up for next year, which, hey, man.
He only had six picks this year going into the draft, so I think that definitely resonated with him. It would have been nice to have a little more capital.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going in. I think we end up with 10 picks going into next year. So So pick 230, which is going to be our first seventh round pick. We end up getting Nick Broeker, the guard out of Ole Miss, 6'4", 305. And I did tell you, Jeff, that there were some draft books out there, and I don't know which one specifically. I apologize on that. But they had Nick Broeker as the number two overall guard in this draft.
Right, which is amazing to me.
It is. So there's something got to be about this kid that there's some people out there that really are high on him. And it kind of reminds me of the Wyatt Teller pick.
Yep.
So... we let him go, obviously, and he becomes an all-pro. But again, there they go. They drafted another offensive piece, which is going to be another guard. So
right, and even if he can't give a lot to the team this year, you've got a piece for maybe a year or two down the road.
Exactly.
Because it's probably a development thing. A lot of times guys get knocked down a draft board because they're not NFL ready but they have all the intangibles to be an NFL guard. In fact, the reading I've done is most of it says will eventually become a starter.
Yep.
And so, and that's in this round.
I liked your note, too, that he played 2 years at left tackle before he went inside the guard. So
right, and he played left guard after that.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's awesome because, again, you know, McDermott, they love their guys that can be multi-fashion. You know, they can move around. They can play, you know, multiple positions.
Yep.
That's a McDermott pick right there, I think. So that's a good call. And then we end up with our last pick, Alex Austin, cornerback out of Oregon State. The big thing I like about the kid was a 4-year starter. So,
right.
You know, he has a lot of snaps under his belt. I don't know a whole lot about the kid besides that, but,
I know Pro Football Focus graded him pretty reasonably.
Yeah.
Last year, as far as against the run and the pass.
Right.
So he's a guy that they can also move up and down, the alignment.
Perfect.
If necessary.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. And the thing that I really like about McDermott when he drafts his DBs, his safeties, he usually hits on guys, even in the later rounds. I mean, look at our pick from Connecticut last year. I keep wanting to say Bernard, but it's not.
Terrell Bernard you're talking about? Or the
corner from Connecticut.
Oh, I can't think of his name off the top of my
head. I apologize. I'm getting old, guys. You know, right. That's what happens when you turn 41.
Getting harder and harder.
Yeah.
And we need like a production team that can like feed us information.
You're trying to remember all these kids' names, man.
Do you, Jeff, do you remember what it was like to turn 41?
No. That's sad. Yeah. Jeez, that was like
41 years ago.
A century ago.
You're 41. I didn't know the 40s still existed.
I know how to make myself feel older is when I talk about like shit. That was like a half a century ago, man. I don't remember what happened 50 years ago. Come on.
Yeah, Jeff grew up going to the Rock Pile.
Yeah,
you know, and
actually, and I never went there. But
you should have though.
I should have. I could have.
You were alive then, is what I'm trying to say.
Correct.
You know, Jason and I.
I was 13 when they moved the Rich Stadium, dude. I wasn't driving to the Rock Pile, but I could have went there.
That's how old our, you know, geez, man. You know,
our stadium is
74, right? 73?
73.
Jeez. That's when they opened. What were you doing in 73, Jason?
Let's see. I was floating in the ether.
Yeah, that's right. I was not delivered by a stork
yet. I don't remember.
Yeah. No, it's, I'm excited for
but
the
But all in all, a solid
too,
draft. To be honest with you. You know, it's funny because I'm finding most of the people that are critical of the Bills draft are...
Bills fans.
Well, I'm sure about half the Bills fans, at least, probably.
There's been... Yeah,
are
there's
critical.
Been, yeah, there's been
but
some people that
nationally,
are pissed.
Nationally, analysts and things like
that.
Yeah. The guys that are giving them shit are the guys that wanted them to take, like, Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs in the first... Freaking round again,
dude! It just
like, are you serious? They didn't address the running back issue.
It's becoming a kind of a joke now,
dude. We drafted a running back in the second round last year.
Yeah,
why would you do that and then turn around and draft a running back in the first round when the guy you drafted in the second round last year hasn't even had a chance to play,
dude? Until we draft the running back in the first round, these analysts won't shut up.
But the weird thing is, I don't hear them like talking about the Kansas City Chiefs or, you know, any other team, how they're really missing the
premier running back.
Premier running back.
Well, they
like,
took
over
that,
and over and over again.
They took that one kid from Rutgers last year in like the, what, fifth round or sixth round?
Right.
Like, great. Like, the kid was.
We took a one in the second round, but everybody's mocking a running back to the Bills.
I know.
Jesus Christ. You ever see Josh Allen throw a football?
Yeah.
You don't need a freaking running back in the first round.
It's weird. It's gotten
more
to the
like
point.
Have you ever seen Josh Allen run a football?
Right. I know. Like how about like Carolina or one of these teams that's probably going to be fielding some rookie quarterback? They need a running back at least for a few years.
Yeah. Well, good for you, Detroit Lions, for taking Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, congratulations, and, man. Good luck.
Can you hit the clap button by chance, Jay?
No.
we do have one of those, which is funny. But, no, I mean, I was like, what are you doing, Detroit?
Well, like Why? I said, even Atlanta at 8.
Yeah.
Like, fine, draft a running back. And I know, like, he's the second coming or whatever. Like,
you're
comparing him to Saquon Barkley, or he's better than Barkley's.
But what is Saquon
But everybody's better than
Barkley had one good year, and that was last year.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
you know.
And he spent a whole year on the sideline. Like, I don't know.
And real quick, it's a funny question, but I'm just thinking about the Giants and Daboll and shit.
Right.
They can have a really good team this year, right?
For sure.
The difference is, can you trust Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
Can
I
you?
I wouldn't.
I just
I couldn't.
Is Daniel Jones, can Daniel Jones be the Daniel Jones we saw last year, or is that a fluke?
The weird thing is, I mean, I always go back to Eli Manning won a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It can still happen with a really high-end defense in a good running game. You don't necessarily have to have an elite quarterback. But in today's NFL, man, it seems like it really helps.
Pretty rare thing.
Yeah, you look at last year's playoffs, and for the most part, any teams that went anywhere had a really, really good quarterback.
Yeah, and the Daniel Jones, this, to me, is just, I don't think he can be repeatable, like, to have that season. He's been just complete dog crap.
Right.
And Daboll squeezed as much as he could out of that lemon, dude. There's no way he's going to be that.
There's a lot of teams that are dealing with question marks.
Yeah.
At quarterback this year. I mean, Deshaun Watson looked like crap.
He looked like garbage.
Aaron Rodgers had one of the worst seasons of his career.
We'll see how Lamar does.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar's coming back to Baltimore with some weapons.
That's what I was saying. Like,
let's see where that goes.
We get to see if Lamar can be the true, like, is he still going to be the running back? Or is he going to actually throw the ball now that he has OBJ and Zay Flowers? Because
can he resist? I mean, he wants to run the ball. Like, there's no doubt.
Yeah, can he really be the guy that can drop back and sling the ball? Well, that's going to be an interesting thing to see.
Well, and there's only so many short routes you can do. And then you kind of run out of options.
I think he has the ability. I mean, I think he really has a real shot of doing it, but I don't know.
I really don't. He's got a good arm. But is his arm accurate enough to play into what these receivers, who they are? Like Zay Flowers, he's a timing guy all day. He's your little juke guy, and boom, you got to hit him, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't know yet. It's going to be interesting to see, but all I do know is
that Kyler Murray,
man, stacked.
Kyler Murray, does he want to even play? Does he want to do the work it takes to be an NFL quarterback?
Dude,
there's a million question marks out there.
For being like the third highest paid quarterback in the NFL right now, they are going to be the most irrelevant team this year.
I think so. I agree. Like, yeah. I don't think they had a great draft. I think it was okay, but
yeah,
I don't know. I do like, summing up the final rookie list and stuff like that. I do really, really like the first two picks. I thought were absolutely fantastic.
Well, that's, yeah.
And all the ones after that have the potential to be rock solid picks.
Yep.
Rock solid. Like, I see a lot of the reasons why the Bills made the moves they did with the guys that they did.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, they now have a 6'4 wide receiver they've never had who's basically a small tight end.
Yep.
And strong as shit. Like, he's just a strong dude. Physical at the line. You know, you're not going to press this guy. He'll just knock you over. Like, I could see it putting guys on their ass.
Yeah.
So big.
No, I really want to see the Bills just bulldoze some teams this year.
Absolutely.
You know, and if we're doing some bulldozing this year, Jay, I want you to be able to get a song on here before we start our podcast. That song that goes, let's get physical. You know what I'm saying?
All right. You're really losing me here, Jake.
All right. Well,
back the fuck up.
Well, Olivia Newton-John did die, so I think it's free use now, right? Isn't that how it works?
I think that's how it works.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You could. That's 100%, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I agree. Like, the Bills have been talking about being physical in the trenches for how long now? But yet, a lot of our defensive line were lighter guys, faster, lighter guys.
Yep.
Our offensive line seemed to be faster, lighter guys. Like, we literally have a road grader in fucking Osiris Torrance now.
Yeah.
Like, he literally can impose his will on people. And from what I understand, he likes to do that.
You see what his nickname is? I know you want to do the nickname stuff.
No. But
so when he was growing up, his nickname was from the Teen Titans. I don't know if you know anything about Teen Titans.
Cyborg?
Exactly, yep. But so it's short. Now it's shortened to Cyborg.
I'm more of a nerd than a football nerd.
Yeah.
If we want to start doing a comic podcast, I'm all in.
Right. Cyborg, he was called for a long time, and then he shortened it up, or someone shortened it up to Cybo.
Yeah, now he wears a necklace that says Bo.
Yeah.
Just says Bo on it.
Pretty soon it'll just be B.
Yeah.
Then a straight line up and down.
Let's be physical.
Yeah. So yeah. So it's very exciting to think about running the ball on the right-hand side. Like, we don't traditionally run that direction. I think most of the time we're running towards Deion Dawkins' side of the field. I think that's where we found most of our success. And I wonder about, with Torrence at right guard and Spencer Brown at right tackle, Josh Allen loves to scramble that way. That might be part of the thinking too.
Get him out of the pocket, rolling him out.
Yeah, because he loves rolling that way. And if somebody's not open, he runs for 10 yards.
Well, he's great. Like, he's great throwing to his right. We've seen it plenty of times, you know. So
yeah, so that's what they like to do. So maybe that's part of it too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now they got a wide receiver that probably can block pretty good because of his actual size, that they can line up on that side of the field. And like I say, if the guy that's covering him comes up to take out Josh, then he just takes a few steps forward. He's wide open. Josh can just lob him the ball. And I can imagine a guy with that kind of physical condition can get you a few yards after the catch just by dragging guys down the field.
Yeah, he's
huge, man.
He's going to get physical, Jeff.
It's 6'4", and what was it, 228 or something like that? Like, he literally
246 is according to your sheet.
Yeah,
246. Yeah, he's a tight end. He's just a short tight end. Like, I don't know
about short.
Well, Kincaid, I think, is 6'3 and 5/8 or something, or 6'4".
6'4 is pretty. I mean, that's a good size.
It's 229 for Justin Shorter.
Yeah. So they're both 6'4". One's 246, one's 229.
It's not that big of a difference.
So he's a little bit of a lighter tight end, but
yeah
they're going to make their presence felt, I think, a little bit more this year than in the past. And they've got some muscle and meat to get that done. So.
Yeah,
we're going to see. Good on that, man. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Anything else tonight, fellas?
No, I think we're good.
Yeah. Good? I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I'm good.
A lot of shit coming up. The we talked about it. ESPN is leaking that the NFL may want to actually release the schedule next Thursday.
So that means we should probably do our mock schedule, Jeff.
Yeah, we'll talk about the schedule next week.
No, we won't talk about it. We got to put out who we think we're going to play.
Dude,
what we do it every year.
I know, we will. We'll absolutely do that. And we'll never be wrong, but it's a lot of fun.
We never pick a game right, ever.
That's true.
How does that happen?
Well, at least this year, I don't think they're playing the Chiefs on Thursday night, opening night. The Chiefs probably, I think they do play Cincinnati this year.
Yeah,
so
they do, yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's a matchup.
That's got to be a primetime game.
Either that or...
We'll be able to pick primetime games. We just won't pick them in the right...
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, I think you could probably chalk us up to one less Saturday game. That's a pretty fair bet.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
We're not a big contender for that anymore.
We really put America in the doghouse on that one.
You get to have a 9 a.m. game this year.
Yeah. Yeah,
Freaking A.
Oh, God, I hate that.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a Saturday. Well, I don't know if it'd be Saturday or Sunday, but.
I hate going to. I mean,
Sunday probably
not. Plus, we get bonus season ticket holders, you know?
Yep.
It's like, come on.
That's a whole other topic.
I know. Jay, tell them how to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, you can find us on social media at ETD Buffalo on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can listen to our podcast pretty much wherever you like to do so. We're hosted on Spotify Podcast, and you can listen to us on Apple or Google or wherever.
All right, Matt. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Good podcast, guys. Exciting time right now after the draft. It just kind of keeps rolling forward. So looking forward to football season. But just want to end it as the same as always, fellas.
Yeah, man.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills.